Now, have you ever asked yourself the question, why is this big book in two halves? Why do we have the Old Testament and the New Testament? And the reason is quite clearly set out for us in this reading that Janet read to us from the book of Jeremiah, that in fact there are two covenants, and the first is described in the Old Testament. In fact, the word testament and covenant is basically the same word. And the new covenant is described in the New Testament. And we know that God brought the new covenant to mankind through Jesus. Jesus was the mediator by which the new covenant came into existence. But it's worth actually looking at the whole history to have an understanding why there are two covenants and what is their relationship between the two of them. Now, that reading from Jeremiah started with these words: "The parents had eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge." And that is actually basically talking about the old covenant, that it was a family thing. It was passed down from generation to generation. But it says, "But all shall die for their own sins. The teeth of everyone who eats sour grapes shall be set on edge." That it's a personal thing. And just interestingly, I bought some grapes in Aldi yesterday, and they are a bit sour. So can I just pass these around as an illustration? Not an essential part of my sermon. But what is essential is this understanding, I think, that we need but of the Old and New Covenant and how they actually have some similarities, but how they're fundamentally different. Now, let's go back to our history lesson. We need to go right back to the two trees in the Garden of Eden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which represents the Old Covenant, and the tree of life, which represents the New. And so God actually knew right from the beginning that these two were going to be needed. That's why he put those two trees. And he did actually give the Adam and Eve the opportunity to bypass the first covenant, to go straight for the new covenant. But of course, we know that they decided they were actually going to go for the old covenant, because the old covenant is about a set of rules that you follow, and by that means you make yourself right before God. The old covenant was about knowing the rules and following them. The new covenant is about knowing the one who made the rules and following him. Can you see? That's the fundamental difference between these two covenants. But of course, at Sinai, God gave Moses the knowledge of good and evil, the Ten Commandments, and all the other rules, and they accepted that. Covenants are an interesting thing because a covenant is an agreement between two peoples, but it's not a contract. It's not something you negotiate. A covenant is something that's offered by one party and is either accepted or rejected by the other one. The two examples in everyday life are a will. A will is actually a covenant because you leave money to your descendants, or you leave money to someone else, or a charity, or whatever you want to. You leave it. It's your decision. Those who receive the benefits of the will can't negotiate it. Now, say if you left some money to someone on condition that they looked after your dog, and they decided they didn't want to do that, they could quite legitimately reject the provision of your will, and the executors would have to find something else to do with the dog. So you can accept or reject a covenant. It's something that you enter into voluntarily, but you can't negotiate it. So the old covenant was offered to the people of Israel at Sinai, and they said, "Yes, we're going to go for that. We'll accept what you've offered, God." And effectively, the rest of the Old Testament is the outworking of that. And we know basically it didn't work, but that's another matter. It's not that God, and of course God knew it wasn't going to work, but that's not the reason that he offered this old covenant. He offered it because we need to understand that it doesn't work. We need, as a human race, to realize that living by a set of rules is not sufficient to either be happy, contented, satisfied, totally whole people. We need this relationship with God. which is what is offered in the New Covenant. The New Covenant is the offer of a relationship directly with God, to live with him, to be his people, as it says. And so therefore, in that those words that Jeremiah spoke, where God spoke through him to offer the terms of the New Covenant. And you can see there are actually four terms that he offered. So he said to me, firstly, I will put their law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. So he's saying that the laws, if you like, the rules, are actually within us. They're not on tablets of stone or written down on paper. The laws, the way we should live, is somehow built into us. Now, he's saying to us that if we are willing to be in relationship with him, then the Holy Spirit will actually touch our consciences and help us to realize what God actually wants us to do. Somehow going beyond just right and wrong, just between going beyond good and evil, but into that realm where we're directed and guided by God himself. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. Paul in 2 Corinthians actually picked up on this and spoke about this. He said, you are letters written. I put this down in Grapevine, actually. You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, to be known and read by all. And you show that you are a letter of Christ, prepared by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. That was Paul's way of picking up this understanding that we would have God's guidance within us by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then the second thing that Jeremiah wrote, he said, I will be their God. This is God speaking through Jeremiah. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Now, when it says they will be my people, it's talking about family, actually. It's saying God will be our God. God is still God in the New Covenant. He's not stepped away from his role of being the creator and the sustainer of the universe. But he's saying to us and all of us that we are to be his people. Now, you know, in the Old Covenant, you entered the Old Covenant by birth. You had to be born as a descendant of one of the 12 sons of Israel, of Jacob, that was. That's how you entered into the New Covenant. You entered into the Old Covenant. You entered into it by birth and being part of one particular family. But the New Covenant is for everyone, and it's not entering into Jacob's family, but basically entering into God's family. Jesus actually said to Mary Magdalene, do you remember when he rose from the dead and she met him? He said to her, go and tell my brothers that I'm alive. And he said, I'm going back to my God and your God, to my Father and your Father. So the death and resurrection gives us this opportunity to become part of God's family. We don't need to be part of Jacob's family. We can just be part of God's family. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And then the third point that God said through Jeremiah, no longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. That was basically saying we won't need the priesthood in the New Covenant, that each one of us can have a direct relationship to him. We can actually say to each other, know the Lord. But that is something that can actually happen for each one of us. Each one of us that's willing to actually accept what Jesus has done for on the cross can actually have that relationship with him. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. And again, it's saying there's no special people in the New Covenant. There are no priests. There are no people of Jacob's family. We all have this potential relationship with Jesus. And then he finally says, I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sins no more. And that's a wonderful promise, isn't it? In the Old Covenant, they had to go through all these sacrifices, day after day, year after year. They had to sacrifice animals and all sorts of other things as a way of atoning for their sin, of paying the price for the things that they knew that they would do wrong, that they did do wrong. But for us, we can rely on the sacrifice that Jesus made for us when he died on the cross. There's still a sacrifice in the New Covenant, but it's one sacrifice for all, once for all, that Jesus died for us. That sacrifice happened, and we can know because of that, that as he said through Jeremiah, I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sins no more. It's interesting, actually, in our gospel reading this morning, when we heard about the 10 lepers and the one coming back to say thank you, that's a real example, I believe, of the two covenants. So when when Jesus healed them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. Now that was part of the Old Covenant. If you read carefully through the Old Covenant, you find that if someone had leprosy and then they were cured, they then had to go and show themselves to the priest, and the priest would carefully examine them to make sure they really were healed before they were let back into polite society. So the 10 lepers actually were told to fulfill what was necessary under the Old Covenant. But the one that came back to say thank you to God and to praise him, to say thank you to Jesus and to praise God, was an example of the New Covenant. His conscience was pricked. What he needed to do, he knew, because God was working within him. And so he came back and gave his thanks to Jesus and praised God. That's a New Covenant action. Can you see the difference between the two? It's not that the Old Covenant was bad or wrong. It was